You're listening to the Favorite Marriage Podcast, a place where you and your spouse can experience God's favor on your forever. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Favorite Marriage Podcast. We are your hosts, Monty and Janine Mora, and thank you for tuning in for another episode today. We are going to be starting a mini-series called The Seasons of Marriage, and we're going to be looking at different moments or times in your marriage, like the first 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and so on and so forth. Because we really believe, as you look at your marriage, we believe that the first 5 years can be very, very formative, very foundational, very exciting, but also at the same time, pretty challenging as well.
Right. There's a lot of harsh realities that could come into play in the first 5 years. I think it differs for every couple. So you might be experiencing a very joyful, if you're in the first 5 years and just exciting and life just couldn't be better. And some of you might be out there thinking, like, what did I get myself into right now? Like, we are just in year two. It's different for everyone. And what we're wanting to do is just to come alongside. And we actually pulled some helpful tools, not just from our toolbox, but we thought we would dig into the toolboxes of some other couples, especially those who are actually in their first 5 years right now.
Yeah, they're in that arena. Definitely. Yeah. And Janine, this is also important because when you look at like the data, and I'm thinking of the Center for Disease Control, they did a study, I think it was in 2016 or 2018. I'm not sure. It's one of those years, though. But they did a study, and the data shows that 22% of all married couples will end in divorce within the first 5 years. So that first 5 years is crucial for a husband and a wife to learn how to navigate and work and also build that strong foundation that is needed for their life.
Yeah, very foundational, for sure.
Yeah.
And we've noticed in the marriage coaching we do, when there is that struggle in that first 5 years, usually there has not been a preparation. And so we really, really feel like it's an important episode. So if you know someone in the first, in marriage in the first of 5 years, maybe just share this, and if you find it to be helpful today.
Yeah. And not only for them, but maybe if you know someone who is getting ready to get married, share this episode with them, because some of the things we're going to be contributing are going to be important for that brand new couple to build into their marriage relationship. And so this is where, as marriage coaches, we're always going to advocate for premarital counseling.
Always. And we also want viewers to just think outside of the box. This is not for the first 5 years of marriage of a young couple. This is also for people who are older, and you are getting into marriage in your golden years or your mid-40s, whatever might look like for you. Like, this is for any marriage, any age.
Yeah.
First 5 years of marriage, 1 to 5 years.
So we'd like to give a shout out to some couples that have contributed to the podcast by giving us some valuable information. Mm-hmm. And all of these three couples have been married under the 5 year mark. And so we want to shout out to Daniel and Kaylee, whom we did premarital counseling with.
Yes, we did almost a year ago, right?
Yes.
They're still under a year, right?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, so thank you. Mm-hmm. And then also to Caleb and Alexis, they also gave some valuable information during this preparation. And then also Leroy and Lexi.
Yeah.
And all three of you, shout out to all of you.
They gave some really good information, all of them.
Yeah. And then we also asked for information from our Facebook listeners or our Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. And a lot of you also contributed with some great information. Too many to even name, but we want to say thank you. Yes. You know who you are, and we want to say thank you for sharing those valuable thoughts with us regarding the first 5 years of marriage. So we have like a series of statements and also some questions that were asked regarding this episode. And so, some of the questions people were asking: when is the right time to have children?
How do you manage your finances? Yep. How do you establish healthy communication? How do you intentionally go on? How do you plan for intentional date nights? I mean, a lot of great questions came our way. So what we've done is we took those questions and we put them in forms of statements or like bullet points that we're going to walk through. And so one of the first ones we wanted to talk about in the first 5 years of marriage is, how does a couple learn to adjust to the expectations? You know, because you have this expectation of what marriage should be, and then you get married and da-da-da, what is the reality of marriage? Yeah. And so a couple in those first 5 years must learn how to adjust to all the differing expectations that they had initially in marriage.
Well, the question there is, should we have expectations? I mean, yes and no. We should have these expectations of what God lines out for a marriage to look like, but lay down our personal expectations, things that might get in the way that are a little selfish, thinking how maybe you might think how the wife should act in the marriage, and then also the husband, like the husband should be the breadwinner and the wife stays at home and, you know, raises the kids. Like there's these ideas and expectations that people come with to marriage, and maybe that is not a good place to start.
I'm thinking in the context of like the roles and responsibilities, and we talk about this in our premarital class.
Yeah.
And like, what are going to be the roles of the husband and the wife? And so you mentioned that as well. But those are expectations that we knowingly or sometimes even unknowingly bring into the marriage. But either way, whatever those expectations are, if you're married and then all of a sudden it becomes a reality, like this is not what I expected, a young couple must learn how to pivot and adjust to those unmet expectations.
Mm-hmm. And those expectations that you said that were like where you have to pivot.
Sure.
Like neither one of you expected could be things like health, a miscarriage. I mean, we went through that in our first 5 years. We went through two miscarriages where we didn't expect that. That was something that we didn't see coming. It wasn't on our radar. Loss of jobs, you know, things that are unexpected and where you have to pivot. I like that word that you use, having that flexibility to move with those tough life
challenges.
Yeah.
I think that's really important for young couples to know.
Because they'll happen. You know, you just need to be ready for them. Not saying they're going to happen, but we're not living in a fairy tale. We live in, this is real life, you know, where things like that could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And Janine, that's a perfect segue into the second point that we wanted to talk about today is difficult seasons. And I think the very important statement that was made was a difficult season in your marriage does not mean you have a difficult marriage.
Right.
And I think that's also crucial for a young couple to understand, because every married couple in the first 5 years and even after, you're going to endure, you're going to encounter a difficult season. But that doesn't mean your marriage is over. It doesn't mean that you married the wrong person. It doesn't mean that you have a difficult marriage. It simply means that you're taking a path that every couple has gone through.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not all rainbows and sunshine, right?
Like yeah. In the words of Rocky Balboa.
Somebody said that. it's gonna, life throws its blows, and we just have to understand that through that difficult season, that's where we should draw closer to one another, to draw strength from one another instead of pushing each other away.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if a couple is going through those difficult seasons in their marriage, there is nothing wrong. Even if you're a young married couple, there is nothing wrong with seeking some counseling, for sure. Some coaching, yes. Some advice from other couples. I mean, couples who have been married, you know, 10, 15, 20 years can add a lot of value to that young couple who feels like man, we're in the tornado season of our marriage and we don't see any way out of it.
Right.
So this is where it'd be important for you to seek some advice, seek some counsel. And you're never too young in the married life to seek out help from other married couples.
Right. And we sought out that help right at our 5-year mark.
Right at 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. We thought we were going to get through those first 5 years, and we were like, what were they talking about? Yeah. And then right at year 5, the tornado, like you said, it definitely hit, and we drew strength from some very wise people, some very wise couples who had been through that path that we were walking in, and they helped us through.
Yeah. Jeannie, what would you say to the couple, and we were talking a little bit about this yesterday, but what would you say to the couple where they're in their first 5 years and they're having a difficult season and they're thinking in their own mind that I married the wrong person? What would we say to that couple that is thinking that, or that spouse, oh man, we're a difficult marriage, I married the wrong person?
Well, I would first lead that couple back to the foundation of their marriage. Like, why did you get married? Was it just for self-gratification? You know, like I wanted a spouse to help me live out my calling or my job or my purpose. And so, like, I just needed to get married. And that sounds crazy. That really does sound crazy.
But people do that.
If you're getting married for the wrong reasons, I mean, that's tough. But most people understand when they're entering into holy matrimony, they're doing that under the covering of God, right? Most people come together, you know, with a pastor, a priest, or, you know, someone who brings them together under these vows or under this covenant relationship. And so I would bring them back to their vows and their covenant that they made before the Lord, and let them know, like, even though you are feeling like this is the wrong person, you made that covenant, and there's a promise that is greater than your feelings. Like, your feelings right now feelings of regret and maybe even remorse of where you're at in your marriage. But if you take yourself back to the promises that you made at the altar, to the promise you made to God in that covenant relationship, you have this mind shift. You should have this mind shift that with God, because we're under His covering and this is His purpose, marriage is something He designed, you can get through anything and you can push past the emotions and the feelings. And when you put God first, then everything else will fall into place. Keeping His promise before your emotions and your feelings is important. And as you stay committed to that, I believe that your heart will change towards that person, towards your spouse.
Yeah.
And you'll begin to love them for the right reasons. And
sure,
God will heal all that mess in your mind. That's like, I want out.
Yeah. And also reminding yourself of the commitment, the vows you made. Like, I know for us, we had to go back to our vows that we made at the beginning at the altar and put them into practice. Like, because your vows will be tested. You know, when you say for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, those vows are not just little nice little sayings that you say at an altar, but they're going to be tested. So you got to remind each other of the vows you made before the Lord and to each other.
Right. And like I was saying, like that mess in your mind, and I refer to that because it was this mind and this heart that initially fell in love with that person. So if you're saying, I fell in love with the wrong person or I married the wrong person, so what you're saying to yourself is that I was wrong, right? I was like, my choice that I made was wrong. So if you were to leave and try this again, are you going to trust your decision again? Mm-hmm. I mean, because we have to understand that somewhere before you started feeling that way, you loved that person. You chose that person. It was you who had these wonderful thoughts about that person, and it was your heart that fell in love with that person. So, yeah, just go back.
Remind yourself.
Remind yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, good advice. Let's talk about number three. And this is also another good connection to what we're going to be talking about. But a young couple must decide what healthy communication looks like within their marriage. And I think it was one of the individuals on our Facebook poll, they mentioned about things like that a husband and wife must learn to have a foundation of how they're going to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And I think this individual mentioned like negative words, sarcasm towards each other, mm-hmm. and also crude joking to each other.
Yeah, that's dangerous. Those are dangerous waters. And a lot of times people will use the excuse like, oh, that's just me. That's just my personality. But it can really poke and prod at someone's heart, your spouse's heart, you know, and not realizing that you're actually tearing them down instead of building them up. And I think this is also important, Monty, because even like before children, if you have come together in marriage and you have no children, the way you talk to your spouse sets a foundation for how your children are going to talk to your spouse. Like what you permit, you promote kind of thing.
Sure.
And it's not only just for our children, but for the in-laws. When you're at events, parties, weddings, wherever you're at, when you're together with your family and with in-laws and even with friends, when you're out and just hanging out, how you speak to your spouse is setting an example of what you will allow.
Mm. So what I'm hearing you say is don't give permission.
Correct.
To your children, in-laws, friends, other family members to speak to your spouse in such a way to where it's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And that starts with us. Mm-hmm. So as a husband and wife in the first 5 years, it's that foundation of how you're going to establish healthy communication tactics or pathways. And you're building that foundation, not just for yourself, but for your family mm-hmm. and even your outside circle. And so you have to establish, like, what is healthy communication going to look like for me and my spouse? And then put that into practice.
For sure.
And begin to live that out.
Yes, because we should be each other's protector. Like, you know, the wife is the rib, right? And, you know, God's word calls us that rib, or we were made out of Adam's rib. And we always refer to that rib being the protector. And the husband as the head protects the wife as well. Mm-hmm. So we should be very careful to protect one another and guard each other's hearts and emotions. And if someone does cross that line, we very wisely come in and correct them and not be afraid to do that.
Sure. Jeanine, another thought that we wanted to share with our listeners about the first 5 years of marriage is seeing your spouse as a gift from God. We talk about this in our marriage course, and every day when we wake up, look at your spouse, and when you saw them as a gift when you were dating, you saw them as a gift to receive when you're getting married that day. We also need this every day. See our spouse as a gift from God. Yeah. What happens when a couple in the first 5 years, they stop valuing each other? They stop looking at each other with the, you know, googly eyes, and they stop looking at each other as something that God gave them.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, you know, Genesis chapter 2 and 3, when Adam first saw Eve, uh-huh. he recognized Eve that she came from God, that she was a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And so husbands and wife need to do the same as well. Always be seeing each other every day when you get up. Hey, you are a gift that God gave me. No. You're a gift from God.
There's no more I could say about that. That was, you nailed that.
Yeah. You know, one of the other listeners had said that marriage to them, they thought it was the finish line, but really marriage was the starting line for them. And
yeah.
I like that because it really puts into perspective, like, hey, we're just barely getting started. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the finish line. Like, I got my wife, I got my husband, got the party, got the ring, got the promise, you know, and then we're done. No, when you say I do and you come back from that honeymoon, boy, that's the starting line for that couple to start building, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, you just laced up your track shoes and you just heard the gun shoot. You know, that's just the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a sprint.
It's a marathon.
Yeah, it is a marathon. And so you got to pace yourself, and hence pacing yourself through the first 5 years is what we're hoping to help do today.
Yeah, yeah.
What else? What are some other questions?
So we know from experience, and also one of the other listeners shared about how a husband and wife during the first 5 years can learn to respect each other's strengths of what they bring to the marriage.
Oh, yeah.
And I know for me speaking personally for us, I was able to notice like what you brought to the marriage, mm-hmm. and say, Janine, this is your strength. I'm going to go ahead and kind of let you take the lead in this because yeah. I'm kind of weak in this area. And you've done the same with me as well.
For sure. And we shouldn't be intimidated by one another or feel like we're the weaker spouse in this area. Like it's not that at all. We fill each other's gaps.
Yeah. Oh,
that's also by someone we know. I don't know. I just got Rocky on the mind today. But we fill those gaps, right? So we're like the puzzle pieces where you lack, I fill in. Where I lack, you fill in. And that's what marriage is all about.
So if one couple, if their strength is decorating, and one strength maybe is managing finances.
Fixing things. I don't like to fix things. Yeah.
So it's okay to default to your spouse if they have the greater strength in that mm-hmm. area and follow that lead and vice versa. And so knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses is important in the first 5 years. And that's how you begin to mesh and come together even more as that one flesh relationship.
Yeah. And this also comes into play with your upbringing, maybe some things that you can bring from your family where the other spouse may have lacked in. And I'm just going to throw this out there. Like maybe there's the parenting aspect, and someone might say, well, what my mom and dad did with us six kids, you know, this is how they planned this out. Vacations look like this. And it really was helpful. So it also is allowing each other to invest some wise experiences from each other's upbringing.
Yeah, definitely.
And that could look like a whole lot of things, not just parenting. It could be
yeah,
a lot of things.
Yeah, that's good. We had another question ask about the timing of having children. Mm-hmm. And once you do have children, once you bring children into the family, how do you balance your marriage now with parenting, like the priority thing. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of thinking like parenting and marriage is like two valves, like a two valve system, like a water flow system. And you have this valve that kind of not maybe shuts off one conduit and opens up another one. But we talked about having a balance between now we have kids, but we're married now. We're also married.
Right.
How do we balance those two things in marriage in the first 5 years?
Right. Well, because the first 5 years, if there were no children in the first 5 years or in the first 1 to 2 years, and it was just constant flow back and forth
yeah.
from husband to wife, and then you bring in the child, there's that, like you said, that new valve or that new pipeline that we have to drain our energy into, or like, I don't want to say drain our energy, but
refocus
and pour into, that's better word, pour into our child now. That doesn't mean we shut off the flow between you and I. That's where it gets dangerous. Mm. When we shut the flow off between you and I, and then we just totally concentrate on our new baby, having that flow continue to go through, you know, to husband and wife, like that flow needs to stay constant. We just have to open up the valve, and then we begin to also pour into our child. And that looks different for parents, depending on your circumstance, it may be that you have a stay-at-home mom and that her valve is open more and she's pouring more into that child. But that doesn't mean you don't pour into that child as well. Sure. It's just a really careful balance. Mm-hmm. But we can't express enough how important that is. Do not shut off the flow between husband and wife. Like, you need that flow. Will that flow kind of reduce? Like, is it not going to be as strong?
Can be.
I mean, it can be, but you most likely it will. Like, it's a reality. You're not going to have that. It's not just you and your husband anymore. It's not just you and your wife anymore. You now have a third party, or if you had twins or triplets, whoa, that's a lot. Yeah. You know, you have to learn to just pour into those children as well, but not neglecting and not forsaking one another.
Yeah. And Janine, the couple needs to remember that their marriage is the priority. You know, when you look at biblically, there's God, the marriage, and then the children. And so keeping that priority in line is going to be important for the young couple. And this is where, like, the couple needs to be intentional about prioritizing their marriage, even in the midst of parenting.
Yes.
Things like planning intentional date nights, being intentional with how they respond to each other, feeling each other's emotional needs, speaking each other's love language. I mean, all these things, that couple needs to find that balance of priority between our marriage and now our child or our children now.
Yes, and if you establish those guidelines and just those, you protect that time early from toddler stage, and the children see that, and you tell them and you speak that, you communicate that with them. This is mom and daddy time, okay? You know, mom and daddy are going to go do this, and you're going to stay with grandma and grandpa or a friend, whoever that might be, and get them used to mom and daddy time. And then, you know, that's just something that they're going to grow up with and seeing. And it's a healthy thing to see.
Exampleship, yeah.
It is an exampleship. And they're going to understand that, you know what? Mom and dad really, not only they see that they love each other, but they prioritize when they become teenagers and they become at that age where they're dating, they're going to think, this is important. This is what I want. I want someone who's going to prioritize me and put me above their other needs or other things that can get in the way. But let's talk about, Monty, the family that already has children.
Okay.
You know, so blended family.
Blended family, yes.
Like, the priority there. Because we see that a lot where you have a marriage and you bring in a family that's blended and the balance is way off because one or the other spouses or both spouses, they commit to their children first. Mm. And they have this mindset and this attitude of, it will always be my kids first. Like, these are my kids and I, and especially if they come from like a very fractured relationship, one that was hurtful, and maybe the children were hurt and they take on that, no one will ever hurt my kids ever again. And they put this wall, they build it, not even sometimes realizing, and it could be very detrimental to the marriage. Like, it creates, you know, fights between the spouse and the stepkids and all that. But if you come if you come together in marriage and you say, the reason why I am getting married is because I want that godly marriage where God is first, my husband, my wife is second, and my family and everybody else, you know, my family, and then everything else comes in after, then you need to establish that in your family and let your kids know, he is now my husband. He comes before you. She is my wife. She will come before you. And establish that before you bring in everybody in the same household over the same roof. It just might go a little better mm-hmm. than if you don't establish that.
Yeah. I think for couples to have that insight, maybe even before they get married, and if they know they're going into a blended family, mm-hmm. that's where that premarital counseling would come in mm-hmm. and help that couple. But if you're in it, if you're already married and you come into a blended family, balancing, again, it's the priority thing, same thing, whether they're your biological children or not, it's God first, your spouse second, and your children third. Because mm-hmm. what's going to happen to that couple once all those children are gone and moved out of the house? Who are they with? Each other.
Yeah.
And if they put their children before each other, man, it can make for a very difficult season when they enter into the empty nesting season.
Yeah.
Because they put their kids before each other. And so having those priorities, I think, is still the same, whether it's your biological children or you're coming into a blended family and your children are not biologically yours.
Yes, teaching them the biblical standard, sitting them down, especially if they're younger, and helping them understand God's word and valuing and them not thinking like, oh, this is your idea of marriage. No, this is God's idea mm-hmm. of marriage. And if you can teach a young heart that, or even a teenage heart that's been hurt, and they are a little nervous about mom or dad getting married again, bringing them back to the Word of God and saying, this is God's design, and this is how we want to live our life. And, sure. You know, hopefully and prayerfully, they're going to respond to that better yeah. than if you're just saying, he's your dad now, and you know all those things that
yeah.
that can go wrong in yeah. so many ways. Bringing God yeah. into it and saying this is His design,
yeah,
and we choose to live this way.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful bridge into our final point. Speaking of God, when a couple does get married, that couple in the first 5 years must also establish in their marriage that, hey, we're not going to have a way out in this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of our individuals on our Facebook post talked about taking divorce off the table.
Yes.
And I think she mentioned, like, as a husband and wife, they had to talk about saying, we're not going to have a way out.
Right. This is not a revolving door.
Yeah. Yeah. God's the center of this marriage. Yes. And God is going to help us get through this tough situation.
Right.
But what happens when a young couple in the first few years, they're always throwing out the D word, the divorce word, you know, I want a divorce, so go get a divorce. But what happens when a couple takes that D word off the table? Then what do they have to rely upon?
Their anchor is God, and their anchor is deep. I just think about like, the whole analogy of like the ships, the port cities,
yeah,
where you're drifting away from one another. When you say there's not going to be divorce talk, you choose to drop the anchor and let it hold you to that port.
Sure.
And say we're not going to drift.
Yeah. Yeah, that young couple needs to stay anchored to the Lord during those moments. And I think the wisdom for a young couple is don't bring the topic of divorce up. Separation. If you're constantly feeding your marriage those words,
mm-hmm.
your marriage, your spouse is going to be impacted by those words. Like the Bible yeah. says, life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
And if I'm always threatening or speaking that word divorce or separation over my marriage, over my spouse, you're planting that seed
yeah.
of divorce and separation into your marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. But if you begin to speak words of life, like words of hope, like God can heal our marriage, God can restore yeah. a marriage. We're going to trust in God. We're going to believe in His way. In other words, not having a way out, but God is going to give you a way through.
through
that tough situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so very important for a young couple not to be speaking those negative, doubtful words of death into their relationship.
Right. It goes back to the communication piece. What are you communicating into your marriage? And communication, again, we talked about it earlier in a different way as far as like how we talk to each other, but communication about your marriage, about your children, about your future, you know, just speaking words of life and talking to one another and being very careful to have that open door for your spouse to talk about a lot of things. And I say things because there's so much that we can talk about in the first 5 years of marriage. Just having that open door policy for your spouse, a safe place, being that safe place. You're learning each other in the first 5 years. And if you don't let each other talk and communicate, like this is who I am, maybe things come up within that first 5 years, and you're not giving your spouse a safe place to communicate, that they're going to close up. You know, when there's a big fight, all of this stuff's going to come out and you're going to get surprised. Like, I knew nothing. I had no idea about that about you.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah. Like, it's so shocking. Well, if you would have had that open door policy, like, talk to me, share with me. I'm a safe place for you. And that those conversations, we can talk about the very silly things like little pit peeves. Like, I really don't like this. Little things like that to really big things. Like, this is, you know, like what happened to me when I was growing up. And this is a very sensitive issue for me. You know, maybe they didn't bring it up. They didn't have premarital counseling, right? Like, it's those things. It could be very small and very big. But if you have that open door policy and you're saying, talk to me about anything, I'm your safe place, that makes the world of difference, learning each other in that first 5 years.
Yeah. Good stuff, Janine.
Good stuff, Monty.
Well, we have given our listeners an arsenal of information. I mean, I wish we had this information that we share today in our toolkit, our toolbox when we first got married. And so we simply want to just take some of these things that we've learned and from what our viewers have input, gave back to us, we wanted to give them back to you today. And so there might be a moment when you're listening to the podcast and you're at the end of the podcast and you're saying, huh, what was point number three they talked about? This is the podcast where you want to go back and re-listen a couple times. Maybe even take notes, because this information is, like we say, it's gold. They are golden nuggets.
Like you said, there was so much more we could have talked about. And some of that will bleed over into the next season that we're going to be talking about, like the 5 to 10 year mark. So like some of the things that are... our precious couples that had given us some information, you might hear some more of that in the previous or the next episode.
Yes.
So so there was just so much we couldn't share. I mean, we wanted to share, but we're probably well over our time.
Well, as we wrap up our time together today, we want to say thank you for tuning in to the Favorite Marriage Podcast. As we have journey through the first 5 years of marriage. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list. This is just a few things that we felt was important from our listeners and also those who gave us this input. Yes. And so, like always, we want to say thank you for staying at it. For those of you in the first 5 years of marriage, keep fighting the good fight.
You got this.
Yeah, you got it. Keep going at it. And so, as always, man, we are praying and asking God that you would experience God's favor
on your forever.
Thanks for listening to The Favorite Marriage, where you and your spouse can experience God's favor on your forever. If you enjoy this resource, please leave us a review and share it with your friends. We'll see you next time on The Favorite Marriage Podcast.